We left off on Perek Shnei Masar with the Giluch Peyas Harosh. And we noticed in Halach Aleph, we were looking through this, and there's some interesting fact to is going on here. That in the Sefer Mitzvahs and the Rishimas Mitzvahs, the beginning of the book, there's reference in the mitzvah, in the formulation of the mitzvah, to the to the source of the mitzvah in the look of the Kohen or the Ovdei Avodah Zarah or the community united in its religion through the Kohen. And that's in both the Rishimas Mitzvahs and the Sefer Mitzvahs. However, in the Koseres, now Shalola Hashchis Peas Zaka. I'm sorry, Shalola Kif Peas Rosh. Shalola Kif Peas Rosh. So there's no reference there whatsoever to the Kohen. So I was noting that this is a funny thing. Why the and Halach again? Halach Aleph ain't the Galchan Pase Harosh Kemosha Yosim of David Azara, the Humarei. So that's the deal. So and Rabbi Ursula noted that we were talking about last time is where does this come from? And Rabbi Ursula was pointing out that this question of where does this come from? This idea of the Kohen. A lot of people discuss that, and they're back and forth. Is it a Tama Mitzvah? Why is he bringing the Tama Mitzvah? So I think that if we look more carefully at the Rambam's, I think this is a good example of what the Rambam is trying to, what is a very novel aspect of the Rambam, namely identifying the Torah Shebaal Peh as a pirush of the Torah Shebikvah. And he brings it down. It's not a Tama Mitzvah, really. But really, it's the idea of the Kohen is a significant aspect of the Limud, the pirush Torah Shebaal Peh of the Torah Shebikvah. Yaakov called it, a beer shame. Namely, it's a significant explanation of the term of the Hakafas Pas Rosh. But the beer shame of Hakafas Pas Rosh is a constituent part of Torah Mitzvah, of learning the Torah Shebaal Peh as a pirush of the Torah Shebikvah. So what is the Torah Shebikvah? What's going on? So what's the issue here? And we'll see how that can resolve this on the one side, or can at least begin to resolve what the seeming disparity between the Koseres and the Sefer Mitzvahs and the Rishima and Halacha, at least that. So let's take a look at the pasuk in context. It's Vayikra. Yates Chav Zayin, Kedoshim. So, Lo Sakifu Pas Roshcha, Roshcha. Lo Sashchis Eis Pas Zikanecha. So what's that? So Rashi really explains it very well. I didn't look at everybody, but he looked to me to be the one who's done the best job, at least from this point of view. So what is that? What's Lo Sakifu? So you notice that the Rambam keeps that, and even in the Koseres, it doesn't say Lashchis or Tekat, it's Lakif. So what's this Hakafa? So Rashi says, Zeh Lo Sakifu Pe'as Roshecha. What's that? Zeh ha-mashveh t'da'av la'acharei ozna. So So he makes his temples even with the area behind his ears. Zacharei Oznav Lupadachto. The Nimza Hekpef Rosho, it is thus resultant that the circumference of his head, the Hekef, he creates a circumference, a rounding, creates a round look. A gull is rounded off, Saviv, all the way around. So that's what he does. So it's a hakafa. So so what's going on? So I think that the point that the Rambam is trying to make, the first step, I should say, the first step is understand the point that the Rambam is trying to make is that we're not talking about preserving certain areas of hair. Nor are we talking about having a certain kind of look. But rather, we're talking about a haircut of a certain kind. In other words, what's usher is the doing of the haircut. But a haircut, by its very nature, which is to say, it's not a technical cutting of hairs of a certain kind. It's not an act of cutting out hair. That's not what hair is. And that's the point that I think becomes that's very important. In order to understand what's going on. It's not an abstract cutting of hair with the accent of position of being in one's pious spot of the head. It's a haircut of a certain variety. That's the Rambam's essential point. Now, what makes a haircut a haircut? A haircut is a haircut because it produces a certain look. So there cannot be a haircut. The haircut cannot really be understood except insofar as its end point, its product. What is it? It's the haircut which produces the comber look. The monk, we still have it to this day. The monks got their heads shaved all around, and on the top they got their hair, and that's what it is. So that's what it is. And I think that goes to the issue of the pasuk. Lo sakifu pas roshkem. So what's this hakafa? The hakafa is a certain kind of haircutting technique. It's the rounding activity. It's not a hashchasa seyar. Not what it is. That's why even in the Koseres he retains hakafa, because hakafa is a distinct haircutting technique. It's the hakafa technique. The haircutting by which one produces the bowl look, which is the comber's look.
I mean, but you're not addressing the question. The question is, so why didn't there's no mention of that end fashion look throughout all the Divrei Chazal? And the Rambam seems to have gotten it from the words of from his own secular historical investigation.
Maybe so. I'm not exactly sure where he got it from.
Which is a little weird.
It's interesting. It's interesting. This isn't the only time where the Rambam does that.
I mean, to see it in the Mona Vilchim, not a problem. You know what I mean? Like he talked about Dom, whatever. But this is...
Right,
no,
this
all
isn't
these,
the only
all,
time... This isn't the only time it does it in halacha either.
It's all in this parak. Also the tattoos.
This isn't the only place in halacha where he does that.
Yeah, where else? Other than things
all
from this parak.
Much of Hilchos Deos. Much of Hilchos Deos is his explanation of the phenomenon as he understands the phenomenon. But again, I'm not going into that issue. I'm not going into the issue of how he knew. I'm going into the issue.
Well, it's not the fact, but that he had the confidence of conviction that not only this is what I know, but this is actually part of the very structure of the
That's right. Why? Because it goes to the issue of being able to explain the concept of what this mitzvah is, and it's going to be necessary to understanding how its halachos fit together conceptually. You can't understand.
Is it a tam? Like the Torah poison?
That's what I'm saying. It's not a tam. A tam is when you have an activity. I'm saying that's the whole point. It's not a tam.
Okay.
It's a formulation of it's the definition of what the thing is. That's not a tam. A tam is when you have an activity, and which is meaningful in its own right, and one looks for what is the benefit beyond the activity. So for example, when is a shaking of a lulav? So the shaking of a lulav is a shaking of a lulav. That's what it is. But one wants to find a significance of that in a framework beyond itself. All right, that's a tam. This isn't a tam. The hair, the look of a comer, the specific haircut by which comer looks are created, isn't a tam. That's what this activity is. It's that type of haircutting. It's a kind of haircut. It's a species of haircut. That's not a haircut which is done for a certain sort of reason. That's a subspecies of haircut, the comer look. And that is the significance of the hakafa. The hakafa is a kind of haircutting technique. The rounding look of the hair of the head. Now, so I'm not. I'm just going to leave that for now. How did he know? What was his methodologies of? Midah Shatara Nidreshes Ben, by which this met his threshold of Teresh Bal Peh. I'm not going into that right now. It's a very interesting question, but my Talmud skills are not up to that. But other than to say, I would think that's what it is. That his conception of Midah Shatara Nidreshes Ben, that met the threshold to know. Why every Isser and Heter and Tamei and Tahar is the way that it is, as he said in Hilchos Talmud Torah. I'm going to assume that for now. Within his conception of Midah Shatara Nidreshes Ben, that's his understanding. Fine. I'm now going to use that assumption. So the first step is to show that's not a tam. That formulation of the thing by which is necessary to be able to identify a mitzvah and to be able to have a mitzvah which is intelligible as a platform for the halachic order, that's not a tam. That's the definition of the thing. How do you know which formulations are those ones? That's the Talmud process. When one moves beyond problems of what the mitzvah is and how its halachic order defines the terms of the mitzvah, to what is the organism's benefit from doing such an act? That's a tam.
In other words, you're saying that the ifer is the, having the fashion look, having the haircut look of the comer.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the ifer is to do the activity of haircutting productive of such a look. That's a certain kind of haircut activity. That's a haircutting. It's the haircutting which is us, not the end product of the look. But the haircutting cannot be conceived of separate from the look because it's the barbering activity which produces that look. So let's say a crew cutting, right? A crew cutting is a specific type of haircutting. It uses a specific type of clipper. There's certain techniques for doing it. But in the absence of knowing what a crew cut is, you can't conceive of a, you don't, can't understand what the crew, you can't define and formulate what a crew cutting activity of barbering is. But there's a very big difference between going to barber school and learning the specific techniques by which to do a crew cut versus being a person who has the look of a crew cut. The one is a skill by which one, using barbering techniques of scissors and flippers and powders and whatever it is one uses, produces looks. And the other one is being a gavra who has that look.
So and this is an interesting case, though, right? Because even if you don't produce the look at all, you still cut it.
That's right, because it's measured.
The haircutting is the haircutting.
Right, because the barbering act, you're not allowed to do any component part of the barbering act. So the barbering act is defined in terms of giluach, the giluaching activity. But the giluaching activity is a productive process. It's a productive process which produces that look, but you're not allowed to do any component part of it. So if you do one, so the giluach process is conceived of as having two fundamental elements. There's the giluach of one side of the head, of the one peah and the other. And the complete process is doing the giluach of the two sides to create a unified hakafa sarosh. And each one of those elements of giluach is us. The two component parts which make the whole of the hakafa sarosh. So hakafas rosh includes two activities. Hakafas rosh requires, in barbering terms, in giluach terms, two acts of giluach: the giluach of the one side and the giluach of the other. And each of those is a distinct component part of the iser and is a iser in its own right. Lokishtai.
Right, even if you cut off the entire hair so that you didn't on the either side do it in the manner of Kamara.
Say it again?
Even if you cut off, that was the case of even if you shaved your entire head.
That's right, even if you shaved your entire head.
You didn't do it, even the shaving of each side wasn't in the manner of Kamara, but just the isolated component is a component of what the Kamara would do.
That's right, of the look. You're not allowed to engage. That is the difference between the Koseres and the mitzvah, because in the Rishimus mitzvahs and the Sefer mitzvahs. Because the Rishimus mitzvahs and the Sefer mitzvahs gives the, as the Rambam says, gives the be or shame, gives the description by which one can isolate the general concept of the activity. So that's what it is. It's the Hakafas Arush, Dmus Kamarim. That's the type of activity that it is. So if what you're trying to do is isolate that activity and understand it and identify it, that's what it is. But the Koseres is doing more than that. The Koseres is the first step in conceiving of the halakhic formulation by which this losase frames itself in halakhic action, in halakhic, in the usser and mutzer and tameh and tahor, etc., in the mechanisms. So how does it set itself up in terms of halachic mechanisms? It's an iser to do the activity of giluach that is productive of such a result, and that giluach has two distinct acts. The giluach, because there's two tzedayim, as Rashi points out. So each one of those, from a barber's perspective, is a distinct activity. There's the giluach of the one side. There's the giluach of the other, which combine together to produce the look. So in terms of, in giluach terms, there's two discrete activities which combine to be the hakafas arosh. And those are, and that's the way the iser is set up. The iser is set up in terms of an maisa giluach. But this maisa giluach is in fact the instrumentality of a hakafas arosh, which is the production of a comer look. That's my first hypothesis as to how to what's going on here, which has a variety of benefits. A, it explains the centrality of Hakafa in the Pasuk and why it carries through to the mitzvah. Because that identifies the specific halachic mechanism by which the mitzvah concept is implemented through a giluach terms. It's a giluach terms. Hakafa is the method by which one is the production, the productive activity by which this look is created. So it's not the being in the look, it's in the utilizing of the mechanism of Hakafa to create it. That's asan. That's the is. That's preserved. Secondly, it shows the nature of the exposition of the Pasuk by the Teresh Malpeh, both at the Rishim level and Sefer Mitzvot level, as well as at the Halach, at the Koseres level. The Rishim Mitzvot identifies the general activity as a problem in explaining how the mitzvah can be isolated in Teresh Mitzvot. Oh, it's a Kafas Arosh, which produces the luck, that's productive of the luck. But it doesn't go into the halachic mechanisms because that's not its job. Its job is to isolate the mitzvah activity from within the language of the Teresh Mitzvah. And it does so. Then the Koseres already isolates the domain and properties of this act by which it can be halachically, the halachic mechanism can be identified. It isolates it as a behavioral haircutting act, sort of haircutting, as opposed to
why would you have a separateness of each side? I mean, that's a weird thing.
What? Why would you have what? A separate
well, why would
what?
For each side of the payas. Because you've now done a barbering that means that now both sides of the guy's hair in front of his ear is now removed, and that's it.
Once you're defining it in barbering terms and not in look terms, the barbering relates to hair. The activity of barbering is a hair cutting, and the hair cutting, the nature of the thing is to deal with certain constellations of hair. And there's two distinct constellations of hair that have to be dealt with barbering-wise to produce the hakafa. So in terms of engaging the head of hair and rendering it barbered, there's two distinct barbering acts that need to be done. There's two giluchim that need to be done. Each giluach is a distinct act of the craftsman of the barber productive of the end product of a hakafa. So in barbering terms, there's two distinct maisei giluach of the head. There's the giluach of the one side, and there's the giluach of the other side. That's not what the barber does. The barber doesn't do a hakafa. He does a giluaching, and the giluaching must relate to the entity which is undergoing the giluach, and the entity which is undergoing the giluach has a distinct structure. It's composed of two tzedayim. So in barbering terms, it comes down to doing giluach to the tzedayim to create the hakafa. And each one of those, therefore, is a separate maisa giluach iser and has its own iser.
By its own iser, we don't mean its own love. We just mean it's a separate maisa iser, like sweet two kazesim or something.
Say it again, Yaakov, I didn't hear you.
By its own iser, we mean similar to if you eat one kazayis and then another kazayis. It's a separate maisa.
That's right.
Not that it's a separate shape.
Oh, maybe so.
It's not a separate
law. So, what?
There's one law with two discrete mice, which I included.
That's right. I think it's more similar to the tefillin.
That's two mitzvahs.
That's two mitzvahs. That's true. That's two mitzvahs. Not similar to that. But it's a complex activity which has two discrete technical parts. I don't think it's a quantity of doing the same activity twice. I think it's a complex activity that has two distinct parts that you're not allowed to do any component part of. Or maybe it's I'm not sure. Maybe you're right. I mean, yours is a theoretical possibility too. Well, let's keep both of them open and see which one it is. I actually, you could conceive it either way. You could conceive of it as one activity which that's a shear, that's a magnitude of. Now, it probably is going to be us to do any component part of any one of them also. You're not allowed to do any component part of shaving the side either. It's not just if you accomplish the whole thing. But
wouldn't be loca for that.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to clarify all those things and see how they work out. But the two basic possibilities that I see right now is the first one I was thinking of, namely it's a complex institution which has two discrete elements. Each one of them is usser. Any component part of this process is usser. To do the giluch of one side or do giluch of the other. Or Yaakov suggests another logical possibility, which I think is definitely a possibility. No, it's the giluch peah is usser, and it happens to be that a head provides a magnitude of two that could be done. So therefore, that would be two. It's a kazayah, at least a shear. It's a shear giluch. That's a possibility, too. That's a definite possibility, too. We're going to have to explore that. Okay? All right. So we'll leave it at that and pick it up, Gavoli, tomorrow. Hold on, let me start the recording.